I get to introduce who's going to be preaching to us today. Many of you already know him. He's Gary Baker. He is director at Hanging Rock Christian Camp. And he's going to be preaching to us on the subject of marriage. And in the past, there's been an ongoing joke with myself and Brian that whenever I decide to take a Sunday off, I usually hand him the more difficult subjects. Like when I went through Romans and those two Sundays I gave him were both on the subject of circumcision. I said, good luck. And I thought maybe I had turned over a leaf, you know, because I preached on divorce last week and Gary gets to preach on marriage. I thought, wow, how easy this is going to be. But then I started to think about it. I was like, he's really got a task ahead of him today. So I thought it'd be best for us if we start off and we ask God's blessing upon Gary before he comes up and preaches to us. I thank you, God, for being able to rest in your word. And I thank you, God, for being able to listen to how you have designed things for our benefit, but also for our instruction. Looking over the text that's in front of us today in Ephesians 5, I know that that the subject is difficult, but there is a lesson upon lesson upon lesson there. And so I ask you, God, that your Holy Spirit, which dwells in all believers in Christ, I pray that he would very clearly and very concisely work in Gary, as Gary brings us the message from your word. And I pray, God, that you would open us up to your word as we open up your word in front of us. So, God, please bless this time specifically in the way of shaping and forming us more and more into the image of Christ. It's in his name and for his sake that we pray. Amen.
If he's going to take a Sunday off, he ought to go hear a really good preacher somewhere, you know. I told him that. I warned him, and he's still here. Let me say before I get started, what a great night we had at Hanging Rock. Over 700 people came out to support the Lloyds, and I just think that's fantastic. I can't imagine the emotions that they're feeling, because I know that from my standpoint, being the director of a camp that has 70 supporting churches, and to see the outpouring of love, that just thrills my heart to death. And I was thrilled to death to see that many people come together for a greater cause. And I know they appreciate so much of what this church has done. Just to let you know, Williamsport began that process of doing the fish fry for them. And, you know, this is a wonderful body of Christ. And so I just wanted to say that at the out front, that it's just a, wow, wonderful experience last night. Then also, just to get things going, we will study Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21. We're going to start in verse 21. And we're going to look at the topic of marriage, the topic of marriage. And so at the outset, I just want to say, Jennifer and I have been married for 22 years. Oftentimes when I have heard people preach on the subject of marriage, I've often thought they can kind of come off as an expert to marriage. And I want to say on the out front that I am not an expert on marriage, all right? We have been married for 22 years, and there's been good times, there's been bad times. I've made a lot of mistakes as a husband. So I do not want to perceive, you know, to have this complex of having a perfect marriage. My daughter, my oldest daughter, is now married. And so it's kind of interesting. We, Jennifer and myself and Kirsten, we went out for lunch the other day. And her husband is deployed. He's in the Marines. And so he's in Japan right now. And so, you know, Jennifer and I are just sharing with Kirsten and talking to her and you know, just kind of ministering to her as well. And, You know, we were kind of just sharing, you know, she was sharing the frustrations of marriage, especially when your spouse is that far away, and there's frustrations there. And Jennifer and I was sharing with her the frustrations that we had early on. And I don't know why she thought that we ever had a perfect marriage. But she made the comment, well, good, I can call Kyle and tell him that there's not a perfect marriage. And so, you know, I think that perception is there, though. It's interesting to me that before you get married, isn't it interesting that you have so much in common? You remember when you first met and you were in that dating relationship and you were driving down the road and a song came on and, you know, you were like, you like that song? So do I, you know? You had those moments, you know, where you like chocolate chip cookies? So do I, you know? You like the Colts? So do I. And you have so much in common, right? And then you get married. And then you find out, well, you know, he squeezes the toothpaste from the middle. I don't, you know? And the list can go on and on and on, right, of the differences that we have. Find out that one is a morning bird, the other one is a night owl. One loves to talk, one doesn't like to talk. One loves to cuddle, the other one is like a porcupine. Don't touch me, you know, right? Right? You know, it's there, right? These are differences in our marriages, and that's not wrong. We're just different, right? They're just differences. And God's Word has a lot to say about these differences. And I want to share with you, I think that Jesse had a challenging topic last week. And more than anything, to avoid divorce, we've got to protect our marriages. And God's Word today in Ephesians 5 gives us some principles that will help protect our marriages. And I think if we just follow these principles that's in our Word, then we can have a strong marriage and our marriage will be protected. So if you will, Ephesians chapter 5, I want to start in verse 21 because I think that's important. Verse 21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does for the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two become one flesh. Paul says this is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church, how each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So the very first principle to protecting our marriage is what I've found as I look through this, is give up your rights, is that we are to give up our rights. Now, most Bibles today have headings over various sections of the topic that you're going to cover. And here in this case, the subtitle, I think, is a little bit misleading. It separates verses 21 from the rest of the passage. And you'll see in your Bible how it does that. Now, verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I believe this is what Paul is sharing is foundational to the marriage relationship. Paul wants us to understand the principles of having a marriage that is in line under our relationship with our Heavenly Father. In my times as a preaching minister and have done some premarital counseling, and I always make sure that we understand, first of all, that our relationship is to come up under our relationship with our Heavenly Father, and that He is to be the Lord of our life, and we are to line up under Him. And that's what the word submit means. In the original language, the word submit means to line up under. It also means in Greek to give up our rights. Now, we all love the word submit, don't we? Just a fantastic word. We use it a lot, don't we? No, we don't. We don't like the word submit because the word submit means to yield. It does mean to give up our rights. But I believe it all begins with both husband and wife submitting their relationship under Jesus Christ, making Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. Jennifer and I both have had great examples of marriages. Her mom and dad has been married for 43 years, and my mom and dad have been married for 50 years. So we both have grown up with great examples of marriages that have not only survived, but thrived. And that's something that has helped both of us in our relationship. The other thing that has helped us in our relationship is our relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that marriage is hard. Marriage is tough. Marriage is challenging. And it's even more challenging if you don't have Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you don't have Christ as the foundation to your marriage, it's especially hard. Now, we just read from Paul. But here's what the Bible is saying. Basically, men and women are to line themselves up under their mates in order to make marriage work. Each one is to give up their rights and look out for the best interest of their partner. God's word says when that kind of submission happens, when that happens in a relationship, great things will happen in your marriage because we both are putting each other's interest above our own. I was telling Jesse this morning, we were talking a little bit about this topic, and when you start doing research on your message, I began reading article after article after article on marriage. The more I read, the more I began to get anxiety about this topic and about presenting it to the best of my ability. One article I read was from Bernard Green. He reported a study of 750 couples experiencing marital problems. The most frequent problem reported was with couples whose spouse was focused is self-centeredness instead of the marriage itself. When the spouse becomes selfish or self-centered. Now, I have to say, early on in our marriage, we were just married for a year or two, and I began a new ministry over at Colfax as their preacher. I think I was at the age of 25 when we began that ministry, and Jennifer and I had just been married for a few years. I enjoyed the game of golf, so I had these old golf clubs. And I thought it would be important for myself and for doing ministry if I went out and bought a brand new set of golf clubs. And so I went to Lafayette. I took my old set of golf clubs with me, and I found the best golf clubs, and they let me trade the old ones in. I was thrilled. I was excited. And I expected Jennifer to share in my enthusiasm. And so I take my golf clubs home, and I present them to Jennifer. And I said, look at these golf clubs. They're going to make me a great preacher, you know. I'm going to get a lot of ministry experience and build relationships. And yet she didn't share in the same enthusiasm. She was not very happy that I bought those clubs. She thought food on the table was more important, you know. But at the time, my self-centeredness got in the way. So guess where I went with those golf clubs? Back to the store. And I got my old golf clubs back, you know. This is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying that if we're going to make marriage work, then we have to give up our rights. We have to give up our rights. And we have to put the other's interest ahead of our own. If we're going to protect our marriage, it begins with thinking less of me, myself and I, and thinking more of your spouse. It begins with giving up your rights of love and respect for the other. I think if we do this, then marriage will work out well. Put yourself first, refuse to give up your rights, and you will constantly be putting out fires in your marriage, and the relationship will constantly have strains. And I know what I'm talking about. You know, this happens very easily because you know, we are self-centered people, so we have to work out those issues in constantly putting our mate first in our lives. Husbands, submit to your wife. Wives, submit to your husbands. In other words, give up your rights. That's the first principle if we're going to protect our marriages. The second principle comes from the very last verse. It comes from Ephesians 5:33. It says, each of you also must love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. So the second principle is just to build up your mate. To build up your mate. And that's important. Remember, Paul is really talking to the church. And he wants the church to build up one another. To love one another. To respect one another. He said, this is a profound mystery. But he was talking about the church. And so we are to build up one another. What are husbands supposed to do? Love their wives. What are wives supposed to do? Respect their husbands. Now, does that mean that husbands don't respect their wives? No. Does that mean that wives don't love their husbands? No, because you can't love without respecting. You can't respect without love, right? So the two go hand in hand. Let me give you an example of this, all right? I just thought of an example that really applies to me more than anything. Maybe this could apply to you as well. Guys, have you ever went shopping with your wife? This is a church, so you can be honest. Raise your hand. Who's been shopping with their wife? Yep. All right, isn't that a fun experience, right? Here's my experience. You know, when it comes to shopping, we are different. Here's what I believe. Wives shop, husbands hunt. All right? Wives shop, husbands hunt. Isn't it amazing that your wife can shop? And I know I'm treading on thin ice here, all right? Your wife can shop and look through 17 different stores at 103 different shirts and 4 hours later come out with nothing. That's a profound mystery. You know, I find that to be a profound mystery. But not us, right? Not men. You know what men do, right? If we want a shirt, what do? We sneak up on the first shirt we see. We grab it, we bag it, we pay for it, and we're out of there. Amen? Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Done with shopping. Why? We are different. We are different, right? Amen. Yes. We are different. Our wife needs the experience. We don't need the experience, do we? We don't. She's a shopper. We're a hunter. We have different needs when it comes to communication, don't we? We have different needs when it comes to communication. Have you ever had trouble understanding your spouse? He says nothing when asked if anything happened at work. She hears, nothing ever happened? He means nothing out of the ordinary that I need to report on, right? How about this? She says, are you hungry? He hears, she wants to know whether we want to eat now, and he says no. She means, I'm hungry. Stop now and let's eat, right? There's this communication problem, right? We're different. We're just different. And that's why Paul emphasizes so much this love and respect issue. Okay, women, I'm going to talk specifically to you for a second, so I need all of you guys just to close your ears, all right? I'm just going to talk to women, all right? You've never been a man before, I hope. All right? You've never been a man before. So I want you to take this on faith, okay? While we can be tough and sometimes rude on the outside, on the inside, guys, you're not going to like me for this, on the inside, there's a puppy side of us that really needs the one who matters most to us to believe in us. Ladies, honest respect is a great motivator for husbands and fathers. For a husband to know that you think he is wonderful and capable of doing a good job and that he's appreciated and that he's extremely satisfying. Women, appreciate your husband for who he already is and not for who he could be if he lived up to your standards. And when you respect your husband, you are helping him believe in himself. That's why Paul shares it like he does. He is explaining to us this concept of relationship building. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, what's to admire about this sloppy, belching pig I live with, right? What's to admire about him? But evidently, there was something. You married him. So there was something you admired about him. Dig deep and find that once again. And not only feel the pride and admiration for your husband, but communicate it to him as well. Communicate it to him as well. All right? All right. So, men, it's time for us. And, I think our challenge is even bigger than the one that Paul lays out for the wives. Paul lays out a big challenge for husbands because God says that she needs love. And she needs it expressed in a variety of ways. It says in verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Guys, how did Christ love the church? Christ loved the church so much that he died for the church. How are we supposed to love our wives? Sacrificially loving our wives, dying for our wives, giving up our rights for our wives. So, men, here's the challenge before us. And I will assume none of us have been women, right? All right, let's hope not. I'll never know what it's like to be a woman. Men, I'm talking to you. Women, you can just close your ears, all right? Make sure I get this right, okay? May not get it right, but you can tell me later, all right? So we need to take this on faith. Here's our wife, and our wives need to know that we love her, okay? She needs to hear it from us, see it from us, feel it from us, receive it from us. And the way she receives it best is probably a way that none of us have been trained and schooled for it, all right? How do you give that kind of love to your wife? Now, some of you who've been married a lot longer than me could coach me in this, all right? You would say probably show your wife affection because affection symbolizes security, comfort, and approval. When you show your wife affection, you're sending her a powerful message, a message that says, I care for you. I approve of you. I think listening to our wives, having a conversation with her. You see, conversation is simply verbal attention. It's amazing to me, Jennifer and I will go out on a date. Oftentimes we tell our kids we have a meeting to attend. All right? The meeting is with each other. So we have a meeting. See you later, kids, you know. And we'll go have a meeting. And while we're eating, lunch or dinner or having ice cream together, it's amazing to me to see other couples. And while they're eating together, they're each on their phones. And I'm like, oh, something's up around here. I mean, that's a little weird. You're out with one another and you both are on your phones. I think there ought to be a rule when you go out on a date. You leave the car or the phone in the car. And you lock it behind, and then you go out, and you actually look at each other, communicate with each other. You listen to one another, all right? Instead of scrolling through Facebook, all right? You actually communicate to one another. And that's important. Wives need to know their husbands are listening. Now, wives, it's probably not going to be effective if you try to have a communication or try to talk while the Colts is playing, all right? That's not going to work, all right? While the Colts is playing, that's probably not the time to say, we need to talk, all right? You need to give him that. Give him some Colts time, all right? Give him, and I know I'm in Purdue country, but if IU's playing, let him have some time to watch the game, all right? And that's important. Or hockey. Sorry, Jesse. Hockey, yes. Yeah, hockey, yes. All right. Wives, build up your husbands by giving him respect. Husbands, build up your wives by lavishing her with love. Wives, what makes your husband feel respected by you? What makes your husband feel respected by you? What will you do this week to make him feel respected by you? That's the challenge that's ahead of us. Husbands, what makes your wife feel like she's loved? And therefore, what will you do this week to help her feel that you love her and that you're sacrificing for her? Now, honestly, it's always my concern when we talk about marriage that there are some of you that are thinking, I'm not married, okay? Or I'm you know, divorced, or I'm widowed or widowed. And it's always my concern to think that maybe at this point in the message, you're tuning this out because you don't think that this applies to you. But young people, this is a great framework that you can follow as you're searching for the one that God has designed specifically for you. And if you are single, what a great way to be praying for your married friends. So there's a lesson, I think, in this for everyone. Finally, by speaking about marriage, Paul is talking about the ordinary, the mundane parts of everyday life. And oftentimes, there is some parts in our marriage that we fail in, okay? We all fail in our marriage relationships when it comes to glorifying God. You know, we fail as the body to build up one another in love. Now, we saw a great example of this poured out last night. The body of Christ coming together to pour out our love. And that's a great example. But we often fail in this. We fail because we are broken, and we know the pain of living in a broken world full of broken marriages. And so the good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ says that we are being made whole. We are being made whole as He is the head, and He's leading our way. He builds us up into love by washing and cleaning our sin, cleaning our sin, so as to present the church to Himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or anything else. And so we can be close to Him. So no matter how broken our relationships are, Christ is always there ready to heal them. And so if you're in a situation this morning and you feel like your marriage relationship is fractured or broken, you can also come to Christ and He can begin to heal that broken relationship. You see that the two principles laid out are ways to protect our marriages. Our marriages need protection. And so God's word here just is right here to give us the example of healing our relationship, but also protecting our relationship. So remember, no matter how broken our relationships are, Jesus Christ can come and heal them. I want to read a final passage this morning from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, and then we'll pray. It says, Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through 7 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love of which He loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we come to You thanking You so much that You've given us guidance to protect our marriages. And Lord, the marriage relationship is a challenge for us all. And Lord, You've laid out these principles here this morning to help protect our marriages. Lord, let us just go to Your feet this week. Let us go to Your word this week. Let us show respect and love to each other in our relationships. But most of all, Father, let us yield to You. Let us give up our rights to You, Father, and line ourselves up under You. Let us submit to You, and therefore our marriages will thrive. In Christ's name we pray, amen.